Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, honor, and praise. That is due your name. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to They Overcame. We are here to give God all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory that is due his name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Good morning, babe.
Good morning.
Say good morning to everybody.
Good morning, everyone, and wishing everyone a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous and blessed and anointed New Year.
Amen. Yes, I'm thinking about it. We won't be back on until after Saturday. Well, we're not going to do a broadcast that on the 1st. I'm sure nobody will be there, but celebrating the new year. I know we'll be doing watch meeting, and that service kind of goes into the morning. But anyway, we're just so happy to be here. We're so blessed and grateful to God for these 3 years that we've been on, and our overall host, I see that she's on the line. We're thanking God for her being with us this morning. We're going to open up her line a little while. But first, honey, you want to open us up with prayer?
Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for life. We thank you for your love, so great that you sent your only son, that we would have salvation. And we thank you, Lord God, for salvation. We thank you for peace. We thank you for joy. We thank you, Lord God, for every good and perfect gift, because we know they all come from you. Without you, we could have nothing. We could be nothing. We would not even exist. But we thank you for your grace and mercy that has brought us through, and your faithfulness and your never-changingness that will take us through until you call us home. In the name of Jesus, we just look to you today. Pray your blessings upon this broadcast. Let words be spoken, Lord God, that will be ministry, healing, deliverance, uplifting to your people. And we just pray, Lord God, that these words will go throughout this nation, throughout this world. Lord God, that men and women everywhere will hear of your goodness and run to you and say, I want to be saved. I want to serve the living God. In the name of Jesus, we pray for this country. We pray, Lord God, for cities across this country. Lord God, in all the turmoil, we just pray for peace, Lord God, not only in this country, but across this globe, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you bind the hand of the enemy in the name of Jesus, that there will be peace, Lord God. Hallelujah. That we pray against terrorism. We pray against hatred. We pray against, Lord God, even those that would challenge authority. In the name of Jesus, we just pray, because we know that all leadership, all authority comes from you. Lord God, anoint your leaders, Lord God, and anoint the people. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray that you will take control, that you are in control. We thank you, Lord God, and just let the leaders begin to acknowledge who you are. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, everyone that listens today, let there be words, Lord God, of ministry to them. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, we're in a time where we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our spiritual leaders as well as our natural leaders. Amen. And this time we're going to open up Pastor Adrian Bernard's line. Are you there, Adrian?
Praise the Lord. Yes, I am, Minister Burns. God bless you, and Elder Burns. God bless you.
God bless you. We're so happy that you joined us this morning.
Yes, I took on a little part-time job, so I'm doing almost full-time hours. So I text your husband this morning. But anyway, I'm glad I'm off today and thought I'd get a little breather. Then got two great grandkids dropped off about 20 minutes ago. But nevertheless, I'm praising God, thanking God for just what he's doing in the lives of his people. Certainly we celebrate with you and Elder Burns the 3 years on Blog Talk Radio. And as we've been celebrating this month of December, 4 years on Blog Talk Radio. So I'm just thankful for what God is doing. I thank God for having a platform where we can continue to give testimonies and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm excited every day that the Lord allow his mercies to be renewed upon each and every one of us. We should certainly have a spirit of joy, a spirit of peace, a spirit of love, and a spirit of just knowing that God is faithful. And one thing about him, his promises are sure. So I bless the Lord for being able to come on the line with you all this morning.
Amen, amen. Yes, God is faithful. Despite, I say, over the line, despite what's going on, God is still in control. Whether we see the manifestation of it right then, we know that the word says that all things work together for the good of them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. And we certainly are called according to his purpose. So we're looking up. The Bible tells us to look up. Our redemption draws nigh. So we're looking up. We're looking for the Lord to crack the sky at any time. And as my late pastor used to say, it behooves us to be ready. So we must always be ready. Praise God. It's such a blessing that 4 years for you, Adrian, and in 3 years for us doing this broadcast, I tell you, it's just something about doing a work for the Lord. I know many times I don't want to get up on a Saturday. 8 o'clock is not that early for me, but, you know, sometimes I just don't want to. But then when I get on the line and I hear the testimonies, I thank God that I was able to hear them. I thank God for all that he's doing, all that he's doing. So I see that our guest is on the line, and we're going to open up her line. Good morning, Minister Mason.
Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well. How are you this morning?
I am blessed. This is definitely a blessing for me to been able to have been asked, and I know it's an assignment by God, so it is definitely a blessing to be here with you on this morning.
Amen, amen. Well, we are so grateful for you coming on and giving your testimony. When we talked briefly yesterday, I can hear that you and, excuse me, Renita have that Eastern accent. And I thought that you were close, but you told me this was in New Jersey. You know, it's just amazing. I just love the Lord how he does things. Now here we are in North Carolina. I'm not close to Renita, but it has been a chain where God has divinely connected the ministry with people that are all over the United States. We've had them in California, and actually our overall host, Pastor Adrian Bernard, who is on the line with us, started out in California with the broadcast. Excuse me. And now she is in New Orleans. I'm saying that the way she says it, New Orleans. We say New Orleans, but anyway. God is just good, and he's not just in one place. He's all over. So we thank God for you joining us this morning. And We're not going to hold you up. We're going to let you give what the Lord has given you, your testimony, how he brought you out, and then just how the Lord directs you, sis.
Well, all right. God bless you once again. My name is Minister Michelle Mason Fontaine, and I live on Long Island, Medford, Long Island. I am a representative, and I attend St. Mary's AME Zion Church, where my pastor at this time is Elder Keith I. Harris, a wonderful man of God, a wonderful leader, a wonderful teacher. I have become a minister March 6, 2015. So I'm a newly found minister, but I've always known God. Praise God. Before I became a minister, I was in the church for some years. But before I got into church, my mom always brought me to church. But I didn't understand who God was and how Jesus can deliver and heal. I didn't understand any of that until I became an adult. And I thank God for my mother bringing me up in the right way, because I got in some trouble, and I knew where to go when I got in that trouble. I was into drugs. I had a husband who used to beat on me. I had 7 children under the age of 12, and we had to get out of that situation. So I remember my mother told me that prayer changes things. So I had no idea what I was doing, but I got on my knees and I prayed. And lo and behold, my house got raided. My husband put 22 stitches in my face. They took me and moved me and my kids out east on the island. And I said, oh, Lord, I'm never praying again. What is this? But this is where I met God. This is where God sent me to meet him. In the place where he moved me, in Medford, Gordon Heights, there's like churches everywhere. So me and my children were looking for a church, because I did, like my mother did me, I kept my children in church. So I was looking for a church for them, and we just so happened to pass one church, and it was a holiness church, a Church of God in Christ at that time, and this was in 84. And as we were passing, the whole congregation came running out because they were done with the service, and they were hugging us and telling us they love us and God loves us. And my daughter taps me, and she says, Mommy, is this the church? And I looked at her, unsaved, knowing nothing about Jesus. I said, no, these people are crazy talking about they love me. They don't even know me. So I finally surrendered, went into the church, and Jesus introduced himself to me as a deliverer from the drugs, as a healer from all the brokenness I was going through, and as my Savior, that he can make everything all right. And I've been following ever since, praise God. And I've also been running ever since. I was afraid of not being able to preach or teach the word like Jesus would want me to, until God finally sat me down almost 20 years later after he gave me my purpose. He told me in 84, I'm going to use you as a preacher. And I just became a preacher 2015. So I've been running from that calling because I was afraid that I, which has nothing to do with God, that I wouldn't do the right thing. So God finally said, excuse me, daughter, if I'm making you a preacher for me, this is my thing. Everything that you say will come from me. I will lead you where to go. So I had to get rid of that fear. Praise God. It was my time. I'm loving it. I've been going through some things lately, but I thank God that I know who he is. Praise God. Because if I didn't know God for who he is, this last storm I was in would have definitely broke me. But God, Jesus died for this over 2,000 years ago, and I've already got the victory over this. Praise God. Now, when I became a minister, My trial sermon was topicked, it's an individual thing. Because it's individual. We have to get intimate with God. We have to know who God is for ourselves. Amen. And I talked about how in Mark 12 and 31, where Jesus tells us to love one another as we love ourselves. Sometimes we forget the part about loving ourselves. We forget that God wants us to know how special we are to him, that we are the apple of his eye. We forget about that. And then that's where problems come in, because when circumstances happen and storms come, we don't have enough strength to know that we can make it through because God loves us. We're thinking, okay, I got to love my neighbor. I got to love my sisters and brothers in Christ. I got to love those who don't know him. But we never say sometimes to ourselves, I got to love myself. I got to know that God loves me, that God chose me, set me aside for his use. Amen. God, who created this whole world, God, who planted the trees in the ocean, God, who created man, loves me. Amen. So he must believe that I'm worth it. So we have to believe individually that we are worth it. Amen. Because this way we can come through anything. Amen. Because we could do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Amen. So I just wanted to share that with you. And it is definitely has been a blessing sharing this with you. And I guess that's about it that I have to say.
Well, sis, I want you to tell us your whole testimony. You have a long time. You give us, if you're comfortable, your drug situation, how you got into drugs, your children.
Okay. That's wonderful. I thought I just had a short time. All right. So I met and married my first husband, who I at the time had no idea because I was, he got me straight out of high school. My parents were kind of strict. I had to be in the house for the lights, and the street lights went off, and I was 18, and I still had to be doing this stuff. You know, it was no hanging out. My friends can come over, but they had to go home at a certain time. My grades had to be a certain way. So my parents gave us a strict love, which I appreciate. So I went straight from that to my first husband, who was streetwise. I had no idea that I was being, I guess, conned, you can say. Because as from what I know, he's still the same way. But I love him. And I forgive him for what he's done for me, because what he's done to me, because I know God wants us to have forgiveness. I stayed with this man for 13 years, who beat me, introduced me to drugs, which was crack cocaine, and it was hard. It was a very, very hard life. There was one point where it came where I wasn't even allowed out the room, out of my bedroom, and neither were my children. He would leave the house. I would cook them something really quick, feed them, hug them, bathe them, put them back in their rooms. I would go in my room. We were like in a prison. And when he came home, he would give me the drugs through the door. But he would come home with a bunch of people, and they would sit out in the living room in the sitting area while me and my kids were in our rooms, separate rooms. And I was in a room by myself doing these drugs. And I realized that this is not for me. This can't be life. After all my parents have invested in me, you know, I was a basketball player. I was a cheerleader. I used to rap on the microphone. And because back in the 80s, that's what was the thing then. Like, and, you know, I was just an all-American girl. I had lots of friends. And here I was, confined in this one room, couldn't even see my children, doing drugs. And I knew that this had to stop. Like I said, although I was in church, all my, before then, I didn't know Jesus as a deliverer. I didn't know him as a healer because I was in church, but I was a young girl. So I was passing notes to my friends. We just couldn't wait to get out of church to talk to each other, me and my friends. I was in the choir, but I just didn't know who Jesus was. So I remembered my mother said, prayer changes things. And one day, after 13 years in Egypt, in bondage, because that's how long I stayed with this man, I prayed. And then I think it was within that week, my house was not the drug house, but it got raided because of all my husband's trafficking coming in and out. Remember I told you he would leave and come back and leave and come back. It got raided. My children did not get taken away from me, praise God. The children were aged from 6 months to 12-year-old, and they were seven children. And my mother had just moved away to Atlanta, Georgia, so I had to pull up my bootstraps, remember that I came from a strong line of black, wonderful, intelligent women, take my children and do what the county said do or lose them. So I was living out Westmore on Long Island, and they moved me out Eastmore to where I'd never been. I never came before, and I knew this was part of God's plan to separate me from everything that I knew, because all I knew at the time was drugs. And he put me right in the middle where there's a bunch of churches. And because of my background, my mother bringing me to church, I was keeping my children in church. But I was at the point where I said, I will never pray again. I prayed and almost lost my kids, and they moved me out here. My husband at the time was threatening to kill us. He said he was going to kill me. No, kill the children, kill me, then kill himself. So they had to move us somewhere. And it just seemed like a nightmare to me. But God was showing me at the time, which I didn't know, I'm going to get you out of this. I know it seems dark, but I need you to know who I am. So all of this stuff that happened to me within 2 weeks was over, because I met some wonderful God-led people who came back and forth to court with me, who would sit down with me and read the Bible with me, let me know how to read the Bible and what to look for, amen, and they let me know that anything I wanted to know about anything was in the Word of God, and I didn't know that either. So I began to read. I learned how to fast. I already knew how to pray, praise God, as you could see, because I prayed and everything just went haywire to me, but it had to do that because, see, when I was a child, I was from, although I lived in Long Island most of my life, I was from Missouri. You had to show me. So if anybody then would have told me, excuse me, that Jesus was a healer and a deliverer and a savior, I wouldn't have believed it anyway, unless I'd seen it for myself. That's the type of person I was. So God had to show me for myself, because there's no way I should have kept my children. There's no way I should have not either been dead or in jail. There's just no way for these things that should have taken place. But when God came in and changed everything over, when I went before the judge again, now I got to say I weighed about 100 pounds soaking wet because of the drug use and because of the physical abuse from my husband. And I looked sick. I looked abused. But within that 2 weeks when I had to go back to see the judge, there was a revival at the church. God made it to where when I joined the church that week, there was a revival, and I got stronger. And because of God, I understood that I can stand, that he loves me, and he loves my life, and I should love the life that he gives me. So when I went back before the judge, because there was a judge involved because of the abuse and the drug abuse and because of the raid in the house, when I walked in, the judge had someone else speaking to them up at her desk. But she stopped and she said, "Mrs. Mason, you look amazing." And everybody turned around and looked at me. God's favor. Everything that they were going to do, thinking about doing, taking my children, placing me in a inpatient drug rehabilitation center, all of that was wiped under the table because I let them know that I thank God for what they did. I thank God for the raiding of my house. I thank God for them threatening to take my children away, because through that storm, I found out that I am loved by God, that God will take care of me and my children. So whatever happens here today, I know that it's under God's control. I had no idea that they was going to wipe that all under the table. I was stipulated to go to a drug rehabilitation outpatient. But at first I was fighting tooth and nail because I was delivered. And I didn't want anything to do with it because God delivered me. I don't need a counselor telling me what to do. But there's things that we have to do. There's a process to everything. Just like when we give our life to Christ, there is a process. We don't give our life to Christ and become a bishop the next day. There is a process that takes place. There is responsibility of reading the word and praying and fasting and loving one another and living the commandments. And there's a process to where you learn how to get through, how you learn how to love people. It just doesn't happen overnight. So I had to learn that the hard way. But it was okay because some of the people in the meeting, they used to say, "Well, my higher power." By the time I finished, after the 2 years, everybody was saying, "Well, I thank God." So praise God, he put me in that position to use me so that let them know what exactly and who exactly God is. Amen. So so here I am, fast forward, 20-something years later. Most of the children are grown. One more is still here. And no, I'm not perfect. I still have some flaws, but God is still working on my building. And I thank God for the mind to allow God in to work on me. I'm doing my very best to serve God and his people. I love that he chose me to be a preacher. I love it. I went to theology school. I have a degree in advanced learning, which is a master's degree in theology. This is all the things that he has put me through and poured into me. I've run from the church where my purpose was to unfold, and I kept going back. And I'm there, and I'm steady, and I'm loving it. Is it easy all the time? No. But you know what? Anything that's worth it is worth the work. And I love working for God.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, you have excuse me, I don't know what's happening with my throat today, but testimony of deliverance. And there are so many people out there that have gone through similar things that you've gone through and have not realized that God is a deliverer and he can deliver them. He may not deliver the same way. He may not deliver from the same thing, but he is a deliverer.
Yes, he is. And, you know, because of my drug use, I almost died. It was a couple of years later, a bunch of years later, as a matter of fact. I met my husband now, who is named Kevin Fontaine, a wonderful man. And we married 2004. In 2005, my aorta, the aorta is the main vessel in your body that feeds the blood, goes through and it feeds your liver, your lungs, you know, the blood. Well, mine's split open. I was not supposed to survive that. Only 2% people survive that. Mine split open. My husband and I were playing Uno. We was laughing, and, you know, it was him and I time, and I bent over, and I sat up, and I felt something rip, and I just knew that something was wrong, and I said, "You got to get me out of here. I think I'm dying." So when I got to the hospital, they gave me a CAT scan. Because of John Ritter, the actor, he had just died like a couple of weeks before then, from the same thing. They kept sending him home, but he kept going back to the hospital until he finally died. So the doctor that came in said, "Let's give her a CAT scan. Do you remember John Ritter, who they sent home? Let's don't send her home." So they gave me a CAT scan because my EKG and everything was fine, because my heart was fine. It was the vessel. I was bleeding inside, but you can't see that on the X-ray. So they gave me a CAT scan, and they realized that my aorta was split open, and they realized that I had a blood clot on my lung and a blood clot on my kidney. And one doctor came over and said, "Ma'am, we don't think you're going to survive the next hour."
Oh, Jesus.
And then they decided to send the priest over to me, because I was in a Catholic hospital, to read me my last rites. Well, I sat up and I said, "Don't you come over here. Don't you come nowhere near me. My God is not finished with me." I knew, although it was scary, I knew that I wasn't going anywhere. God assured that to me in my soul and my spirit. So they transferred me to Stony Brook University, which is supposedly the best hospital on the island. And they could not operate. They couldn't do anything because I had so much wrong with me that they just had to let me lay still and give me medication. So I stayed in the hospital at that time for about 3 months, and they sent me home. But I had to go back to the doctors every 2 weeks, and the doctors would say, "We can't believe you're still alive," because at this time my aorta was still busted open from all the way to the top of my chest down to where my kidneys are. But they couldn't touch it because of all the other complications. And they didn't understand why I was still walking, why I was still talking. And I kept telling them, "Because y'all don't understand my father." So finally, I had another aneurysm on the aorta, and it bursted. And that was in 2008, where they could not just let me stay like that. Stony Brook gave up on me. They told my family, "Either you can keep her here and we'll keep her comfortable, or we'll send her home and send a nurse there to keep her comfortable, but these are her last hours." So me in my mouth, "Oh, y'all killing me off again? I ain't going nowhere." You know, and I sort of laughed, and they said, "Well, at least she's hopeful." They had my children sad, you know, and my husband, they didn't know what to do, but I kept saying, "I'm not going anywhere, guys." And then I made arrangements for someone to keep my children, because God told me I was going to the city. At the last hour, they had me downstairs in sort of like this closet, just giving me medicine, you know, to keep me comfortable. And a doctor from the city got on the computer that day, and he says he never does that. And they're connected to Stony Brook. And he saw my case, and he called them. He said, "Send her to me. I can fix her." Praise God. At the 11th hour, they gave up on me. He paid for my ambulance to go from Stony Brook to New York. He kept me there, put Humpty Dumpty back together again, and here I am. Praise God. Yes, the doctors in Stony Brook was waiting for me to die, and I knew I wasn't going anywhere. And at the 11th hour, God had the man call in. And here I sit talking to you. This was in 2008. Praise God, and I'm still here. Right. So God has given me testimony after testimony after testimony, and I know for a fact that he's real. Nobody can make me doubt him. And I got records to prove it if anybody else want to doubt him. Amen.
Amen. We used to sing the song.
What's the name of it, honey? "You Can't Make Me Doubt Him. I know too
yes.
much about him."
Yes, yes,
I
yes.
Too much.
He brought me all the way. He brought you all the way, sis. And he carried your burden every day. Such a wonderful Savior. I never
Yes, he is. Wonderful Savior.
Amen.
Wonderful Savior. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for anyone. He's not going to stop at me. I'm not his only child. I'm not his only apple in his eye. So anybody in the sound of my voice, if you're going through any kind of medical issues, any kind of physical issues, any kind of emotional issues, I pray that you heard my testimony and know that God can. And won't he do it?
He will.
Amen.
Amen. It's, I tell people, I often say on the broadcast, people pray, but do you believe? Do you believe what you're praying? I believe
right.
Your affirmation of I'm not going anywhere, God is not through with me, that gives God the belief. God knows that you have faith. And he said that you can do anything with faith. You can do anything. You can do anything as long as you believe. As long as you believe.
Yes, ma'am. And I was talking about the other day when I had the opportunity to preach that mustard seed faith. Now, that mustard seed is the smallest seed on the planet, but he ain't talking about the seed. He's talking about a grain of that seed. That's all you need. That's all you need. That's what the Bible tells us, is a grain of that seed. And you can move mountains. I said, I'm not going anywhere. And here I sit because of the faith that I had. Praise God.
And without faith, the Bible tells us it's impossible to please God without faith. So we believe, you know, that he can do for someone else. They can believe for someone else, but when it comes to them, you know.
That's right.
That's
right. Yes, ma'am, that's why I said it's important for us to love ourselves. People forget that. They love everybody else, but they don't love themselves. And Jesus told us, he commanded it. He said, above all this, I want you to love your neighbors as you love yourself. So we have to believe that God loves us. Amen. And we have to love ourselves.
Got
is there
it.
Anything else I can enlighten you with on this morning?
Well, amen. Pastor Adrian, our overall host, is on the line this morning. We praise God for her joining us this morning. Did you want to say something? Adrian.
What an awesome testimony, just a testimony of what God can do with faith and just knowing that God will bring you out, just hearing a testimony. You know, I just reflect upon many that God has delivered from drugs and domestic violence and all other kinds of trauma. And just knowing that without God, we would fail. Without him, we would surely be in a miserable state. And I just bless the Lord for her strength and for her faith and for her courage to persevere in spite of all that she had to endure. Our tests and our trials, they're always for someone else. They're not just for us. They're a testimony to help strengthen the body of Christ and to let them know that if he did it for, you know, it sounds so common and so cliche when we say certain things. If he did it for me, surely he can do it for you. But you have to have that faith to believe that, you know, the testimonies of others, they're just not saying these things to impress. They're saying these things because they have lived it. They have experienced it. And that's the place that we have to get to. We have to get in a place where we know what God has done and what he's going to do. And we have to remember those testimonies. So oftentimes we forget what God has already done when we're in the midst of a storm, when we're in the midst of a test of a trial, testing a trial, and that's why the Bible admonishes us to stir up our pure mind by the way of remembrance. And, you know, we always looking for something great. We're always looking for something grand. But the grandest and the greatest thing that God could ever do for us is to fill us up with the Holy Ghost. And once you get filled with the Holy Ghost, I am a witness that it'll transform your life. Amen. And it will cause you to thrive. It will cause you to strive for everything that is godly. So certainly I appreciate that testimony today. It has strengthened me. I was a little down in my spirit and was just devastated on yesterday upon hearing about the 95 clemencies. And, you know, my sister's attorneys and the family, and we were all hopeful that Danielle's name would be on that list in those 95 clemencies, but they didn't call the prison. So, you know, I got a call from her late last night, and, you know, her spirits was up, but mine was down. And I felt so bad, and I just kind of broke down, Billy, and I really didn't know I was going to do that, and I certainly didn't want to do that with Danielle on the line, because she is the one that's living this thing. And I just broke down because, I mean, at least next month will be 23 years, and those 23 years, she's never heard me just break down like that, and I just felt so bad for her. And so I just need prayer on today. Even today, I'm still not where I should be. But nevertheless, I thank God for what he's doing. And he knows the time. He knows the hour. He knows the day that, you know, freedom is going to bring on her behalf. So just bless God to just be able to be on and hear this wonderful, awesome testimony on this morning.
Yes, ma'am. If I may, as far as breaking down, Pastor, you remember when Jesus saw the vision of what was going to happen to him. He had to step away from the disciples and go and pray and break down, so much so that his face began to bleed. So it's okay if we break down. But if you remember, he got back up and went to check on the disciples because they was quiet. He had to still be on his mission. So it's okay for us to break down sometime, but always remember who we are and get back up and know that God has it, because we got flesh, and that flesh is going to break down sometime, but we also have that supernatural power that reigns inside of us, because greater that he is in me than he that is in the world. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. 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 I tell you, just hearing the testimonies and hearing the things that God is doing for others, it may not be the same thing that you're going through, but it lets us know that God is still in control. God is still great. To come from a diagnosis that says that only 2%, that means 98% of the people that had what you had or have didn't survive. Only 2% people did, but God.
Yes, ma'am.
But God.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Adrian, you hold on. God is, he knows what he's doing. We don't always know what he's doing, but God is faithful. He's faithful. And don't stop doing what you're doing, Adrian. Don't stop doing what you're doing.
Amen.
God is. You know, a lot of times I look and I say, well, Lord, why should I keep doing this? Or why should I keep doing this? And then I'll get a testimony like this. Or I'll get somebody on the line and say, keep going, Billy, keep going, because this is a needed broadcast. This is needed. People need to hear what God is doing and what God can do. Keep going. So keep going, Adrian. Don't stop. God is still in control. It may not work out the way that we want it to work out, or the way, the time that we want it to be, but God knows, and God is in control. And we can go to him and say, Father, is this going to happen? Is this going to, we've been holding on to this, but is this your will? Is this going to happen?
Mm.
I remember when I was carrying Jonathan, and I have four boys, sis. I have four boys, and I wanted a girl, and I was saying, every pregnancy, I was saying that it was a girl. As a matter of fact, my 29-year-old, I went to the hospital with Pink. I just knew. So Becky DeLassman, she said, did God tell you that you were having a girl, Billy? Because she knew I was having a boy. She said, did God tell you you were having a girl? I said, I didn't even ask. I just kept saying that this was a girl, this was a girl. And lo and behold, I went, the only one that I ever had an ultrasound with, and the first thing I saw was his penis. I was so mad. But I had God in control. I know that God is in control, and that's the one that is, since he is in law school, he was a champion wrestler. He was the state champion for his weight class while he was in high school. He went through college, excelled in college. He's in law school. He made law review, which means that his grades were really good. So, you know, God, he knows what he's doing.
Yes.
He knows what he's
doing.
He knows what he's doing.
Yes,
so we
does.
Have to trust him. We have to trust him, Adrian. We got to believe him. I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm going. Let me open up. Somebody is calling me from this number. Praise the Lord. I opened up your line. Are you there? Are you there, caller? Your area code is 516, and your last four numbers are 7599. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Amen.
Yes, I'm Brother Fontaine. I'm Sister Michelle Fontaine's
husband. Hey,
that's my husband.
Thank you for joining us. You wanted me to open. Were you calling my number?
I'm calling just to say that I can attest to everything that Sister Fontaine said, and she's been very strong. God has been working with her and continues to be working with her. And she has one testimony that could be heard. And I'm proud to see that she's testifying and that she does all the time. And her story needs to be heard. And I'm proud of her.
Amen.
Hey man, I just this is Elder Burns, the husband, and I just wanted to say thank God for the show this morning, and the testimony is just so awesome. And what I just felt in my spirit is that how that God will, well, a lot of the things that people go through, we think we just are unfortunate to go through what we've gone through. But in many cases, it's God entrusting that with you. And I thought about how that even the parable that Jesus told of the talents, and how that the master gave more talents to one and fewer to others based upon their ability or how he could trust them. The one he gave the most talents to, he trusted to do the most with. And sis, God entrusted you to go through some things because he knew that you would, just as you did today, and I know this is not the first time you've told that story, that you would put that story, put that testimony out there so that it's multiplying, so that your testimony is actually causing people to believe and know and trust and know that they have a Savior that they can call on. And we thank you for your faithfulness, and we just encourage everyone that's listening in and going through whatever it is that you're going through, that God is able, that he has entrusted you to go through that thing because he knows you're going to let him be glorified through your testimony. So let's just be faithful in our testimony. Don't keep it, but tell it to the world, because there's somebody that needs to hear your story.
Amen. Amen. And I do. I try to tell it as much as I can, because I know I'm not the only one that goes through. I know that God uses other people. But I just thank God for the way you just gave me to look at a storm, where God trusting me to go through it so that I can tell it. Amen. I never looked at it like that. And that right there will help me through my next test or my next trial or my next storm, because I know God is not done with me yet. I still got a lot of growing to do. And I'm looking forward to growing. Am I looking forward to the storms? Well, you know, sometimes it can be a little rough. But you know what? It's just so that I can grow. Because we got to go through to get through to grow up. Amen. He just wants to bring us to another level. And that's how I looked at it. But to get that advice from you, to hear you say that God is entrusting me in this storm so that I can be a witness, hallelujah, making me yet a better servant. And I just appreciate that. God bless you.
Amen, amen. Well, we just thank God for your testimony, sis. And I just thank God your husband joined you to attest to your testimony. We're so grateful that you agreed to come on. And we're going to ask everybody to be praying for Sister Renita as she is burying her uncle today.
Yes.
And that's why she's not on the broadcast this morning. Her uncle died suddenly, and they're having the funeral really close. So pray for the family. Pray for peace in the family. Amen.
Yes.
So, we're going to ask Sister Adrian, did you have something else that you wanted to say? No.
No, I'm blessed. I'm finished. God bless you all. Thank God for the show this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we want to invite everyone to listen. Are you going to be on this following week, Adrian?
No, we won't be on the next week.
Okay. Well, we have some things to pray about as to how we're going to proceed, but we ask everyone to pray for us, and we ask you to tune in next Saturday to They Overcame, where the scripture says in Revelations 12 and 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. 8 o'clock Eastern time. We're here every Saturday. So, sis, we're going to ask you to spontane. We're going to ask you to end us in prayer. We thank you again for joining us. Awesome testimony. And thank you again for joining us.
Well, God bless you, and God bless everyone who is on the line. I am just blessed to be able to share my testimony. It is not mine. It is something that God has. It was a gift from God. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are coming to you as humble as we know how, thanking you first, O Lord, for letting the sun rise upon us. Thanking you, Lord, for being so great, gracious, and merciful. Thanking you for all things, O Lord, and yet thanking you for nothing. Lord, I thank you personally, O Father, for the blessing that you bestowed upon me today to be able to give out a gift that you have given to me. I thank you, Father. Thank you for my newfound sisters and brothers that I was able to speak with and talk with. Bless them, O Lord, and they shall be blessed. We want to pray for Sister Renita and her family right now. Through this time of sorrow, O Lord, give them strength. And to the head pastor of this radio station, continue to strengthen and fill a cup all the more, O Lord. Continue to bless her and anoint her and give her the strength to go through whatever it is she needs to go through. Bless each and every one of person that's in the sound of my voice. May we all have a wonderful, blessed day. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, sis, for coming on and giving your testimony. I'm sure that we all, well, I know that I've been blessed. I've been blessed to hear it. And until next week, we just want to praise him.
God bless you.
I just want to praise
forever, come on.
Forever
and ever.